Blog Talk Radio.
We are live on Fan for Racing, NASCAR, and Race Talk. This is Monday night, May the 22nd. And again, we have a really interesting show lined up for our listeners tonight. Now, very quickly, I'm going to wish a very happy birthday to my grandson, Lucas. He's turning 2 today, so I want to make sure that we wish him a very happy birthday. I had a chance to see him this past weekend, and I hope he has a lot of fun on his birthday. Now, let's get into our show for tonight, because we do have a couple of guests lined up for you. Starting at 8:40 p.m. Eastern Time tonight, we have Chris Eggleston from the Can-Am West Pro Series. He will be on the show tonight, and he'll be here to talk about winning at Orange Show Speedway this weekend in rather dominating fashion. I'm really looking forward to talking to him. I think I'm going to call him the Dominator at Orange Show Speedway from now on. We wrote an article about that earlier today on fanforracing.com, talking about his victory. He pretty much dominated that race, and he did the same thing a year ago when he also won there. And it's going to be interesting to find out what happens when they go to Colorado National Speedway in another couple of weeks. Last year he won at Orange Show Speedway and then went on to Colorado National and won 2 straight in a row. So he won the season opener at Tucson Speedway earlier this season. So very similar to Todd Gilliland. He's having a really good start to the season. And interesting enough, between Chris Eggleston and Todd Gilliland, they both have championships in the past 2 years in that series. So a lot to look forward to when we chat with Chris Eggleston from Bill McAnally Racing here in just a few minutes. Also joining us shortly will be our co-host, Sal Segala. Unfortunately, Sal is not going to be able to be with us during the 9 o'clock half hour. So I do have some post-race audio from both the Camping World Truck Series as well as the Monster Energy All-Star Race winner, which happened to be the same driver, Kyle Busch. And we will have not only his comments after winning the Truck Series race on Friday night, we'll also have comments from him, his crew chief, Adam Stevens, and, of course, the team owner, Joe Gibbs, after he won the All-Star race on Saturday night. So stay tuned for that. During that 9 o'clock half hour, I'm hoping we'll also be able to touch on what happened in the ARCA Racing Series race on Sunday. I watched that race, and it was a pretty impressive race. On a lot of counts, and so we'll talk about that during that 9 o'clock half hour. Joining me now is our co-host, Sal Segala. So welcome to the show, Sal.
Oh, good evening, Sharon. Thank you.
It's great to have you here. I know you have a guest that's coming on at 9:30. Do you want to talk about your 9:30 guest?
Yeah, our 9:30 guest is Rob Crocker from Hot Rod Productions. And he's the track promoter at Orange Show Speedway out here in California. And he's got a lot of good things going on this season. Very exciting season. And actually, they just hosted the NASCAR Can-Am West race, the Orange Show 150, this past Saturday. So I know he's going to want to talk a little bit about that. And, of course, their upcoming season and, what they race there and stuff like that.
Okay, that sounds fantastic. And I know we've had him on the show before, as well as Chris Eggleston, so I'm definitely looking forward to talking to both of our guests here tonight. And then we will try to close out our show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, as we normally do. So, Sal, I want to get your thoughts about any highlights of racing from this past weekend.
You know, Sharon, there was a lot. There was a lot of good racing this weekend. A lot of highlights. You know, I mean, some that, of course, they won't be able to see until they replay the NASCAR Canyon West race, which I think is. I know you always have the schedule,
mm-hmm.
right? But then you also got to look at the. Yeah. So then you also got to look at the highlights from the. From the ARCA race, which was Harrison Burton's win, and gosh, what a job he did to catch Dalton Sargeant and get that victory.
Yeah, Dalton Sargeant pretty much had that race won. He dominated most of the afternoon at Toledo Speedway, and Harrison Burton though was very impressive. He had to come from the back. He had a hiccup on his first pit stop during the first caution, and his car stalled, and he ended up at the back of the pack, had to race his way from the back to the front in order to win that race, and he made the pass for the lead with about 8 laps left to run. So it was impressive by both Dalton Sargeant as well as Harrison. And Eggleston also dominated. I was on the article I put together this morning. I called him the Dominator at Rancho Speedway. That's 2 years in a row that he's pretty much dominated that race.
Yeah, yes, it is. You know, and gosh, there was a lot of action. Not really what you say controversy. Just a lot of late. Calls on the caution flag, you know, that could have come, you know, a lot earlier, you know, but I mean, there was some hard driving. There was a lot of surprises when it came to the top three. You got to give a shout out to Todd Souza, who finished second, and he came all the way from a lap down to get that second place finish.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, I want to correct myself. I said May 28th. It's actually May 26th. That's this Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. They will re-air that race. Now, I've seen that race called the Orange Show 150. I've also seen it called the Sunrise Ford 150. What's the actual title of that race, Sal?
You know what, Sharon? I'm pretty sure they stuck with you. The Orange Show 150. Even though Sunrise
okay.
Ford, I'm not even sure if Sunrise Ford had anything to do with it, because usually they have the Sunrise Ford. Sunrise Ford is on the sponsors track anyway, so their banners are automatically up. But there was nothing really
okay.
said about, you know, they didn't really bring Bob Bucati out and announce them, you know, as the title sponsor like they did last year.
Okay.
So I think we're going to stick with the Orange Show 150.
Oh, okay, so the thing is that we're just happy that Chris Eggleston won that race. Bill McAnally Racing has just had an incredible year between two of their drivers, both Chris Eggleston, who won the season opener and now won at Orange Show Speedway. Last year, after winning at Orange Show Speedway, he went on to Colorado National, which is his home track, and also won at that race. So it's going to be interesting to see if he can repeat with a win at Colorado National on June 10th as well. Just a fantastic year again for Bill McAnally Racing out there in the K&N West.
Oh yeah, they're having a pretty awesome season. Like you said, you know, they've won the first six races, and actually they also have the first six pole awards too. With Todd winning the first five, and then Chris coming up and picking up this pole award, so they're in championship form now. But you know, you can never count out that Bob Bucati team. I mean, Michael Self had a little he was up there racing for the lead, and actually led a couple laps, and then he got caught up in one of the wrecks. He lost his brake duck. And they black flagged him. He had to come in and fix it. you know, and we still try to, you know, get a good run. But by then, you know, on that little tiny track, it was just a little bit too late.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty amazing. The thing that was amazing about Chris Eggleston's performance as well is that he led both practice sessions, he took the pole, he then went on to win the race. It doesn't get much more dominating than that.
Yeah, actually he led the last practice session, and then he took the pole. He only
okay.
led the last practice
now,
session, not the first one, yeah.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Yeah, I'm not sure who it was though, because Chris is really he'll say something. He'll go, he'll tell us. I only led the one practice session. And I'm not sure. I think it was Todd or I forget who it was that got the first one. But all in all, either way, Sharon, it was a very good strong performance, and it was good to see him in victory lane. Gosh, what a season Bill McAnally Racing is having. It's just
well,
it's awesome.
I want to go ahead. You're absolutely right, Sal. I want to go ahead and bring Chris on line here because he is here. And, Chris, I know you've been waiting there for about a minute or so. You probably heard us talking about what a great season this has been for Bill McAnally Racing already, for yourself as well as your teammate Todd Gilliland. I'm calling you the dominator at Orange Show Speedway. 2 years in a row, you've pretty much dominated that track with the victory. And last year and then again this year, that has to be pretty satisfying for you as a race car driver and for your team there at Bill McAnally Racing.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those racetracks that I probably don't always enjoy going to, but it just kind of fits my driving style on as far as, like, how I get in on entry and exit. I feel like I'm very patient, and I'm able to finesse the throttle maybe more than other drivers. And in a place like that, you know, you really got to do your due diligence and take care of it. It being such a small, tight bull ring, for those that haven't been to Orange Show Speedway, it's basically the West Coast Bowman Gray. And I've never been to Bowman Gray, but it looks a lot like it from the videos. And like you mentioned, it goes back to all the guys over at Bill McAnally Racing. They gave me an awesome 99 Napa Filters Toyota. And just out of well-balanced race car from the moment we unloaded it from the trailer to the end, we kind of had to fight through some adversity. It certainly wasn't an easy win for us. But overall, I was glad we could pick up our win number two of the season and hopefully move on to Colorado, which is also one of my strong tracks, and hopefully go two in a row.
Okay, and yes, you did that last year, and it would be great to see you do that again. Now, clarify something for me. I know there were two practice sessions. Did you lead both of those practice sessions or just one?
No, we just led the second session. The first session, I believe, was Michael Self who led the first session. He cut a tire down actually in the first session, so he was forced to do his mock sticker run in the first session, which he jumped to the top of the charts, which also newcomer to the West Coast Series, Sheldon Creed, also beat us by I think a couple hundredths in the first session as well. So after the first session, we knew we had a fast race car sitting third on the charts. We were able to go out in the second session and mock up top of the charts, which we were really excited for, and then come down to qualifying time. It didn't feel like the best qualifying effort to me, in all honesty. The car was kind of jumping around and bouncing around, which you kind of got to do with a West car. You really got to muscle them around. But at the end of the day, it was enough to get our second career pole, first pole of the season.
Yes, that was fantastic to see that you were able to take the pole there and then follow that up with a win. Now, Sal Segala is with us. I know he was there. And he's got plenty of questions for you, so I'm going to go ahead and pass the mic over to Sal Segala now, okay?
All right.
Hey, Chris, first of all, again, congratulations on the win. Like you said, adversity, there was, I was telling Sharon, you know, there was some kind of late calls with the yellow flag, but all in all, you know what, it was a hard-fought battle, by from yourself and especially from the team having to fight not only the track but then the hot weather that we had this week.
Yeah, for sure. First of all, it was really hot, and I know you know secondhand because you're out there snapping some awesome pictures like you always do. And for all of us drivers, you know, in our three-layer suits, it was mighty hot in the race car all day long through practice and the race. And I mean, yeah, we got out to a strong lead there for a little bit, and it seemed like Todd kind of marched up through the field and kind of moved us out of the way early in the race and kind of checked out. And you know, it was one of those deals. I thought it was going to be the Todd show all over again, kind of like how it's been the last four races. But it seemed like under that long green flag run, our car was really good on the long run, and we were able to inch back up to him and get back by him before the first yellow, or the preceding yellow, I should say. And in doing so, we kind of checked out there for a little bit. We were able to manage and navigate through lap traffic really well, I felt like, which was another one of our strong suits. And then I know you kind of already hit on it and mentioned there's a couple instances where there's a couple wrecks on the racetrack. You know, I'd already had my hand out the window and, you know, almost, I mean, sarcastically downshifting, kind of getting a breath of fresh air. And here comes the 9 car of Michael Self through the apron, takes the lead, and we're still green. And so it was one of those deals that kind of caught me off guard, and I probably shouldn't have got out of the throttle like I did until I saw the yellow. But when I saw two cars completely blocking the racing groove, I thought for sure there'd be a yellow. But nevertheless, we had to battle really hard on the outside of Michael Self on that restart. He drove me really clean. It was just some really hard racing there for a little bit. We were able to beat him back to the start-finish line after, I think, four laps or so before the next yellow came out. Got the lead back and kind of fought through some adversity, some beating and banging. People were getting really aggressive, and patience were worn at that point. We were able to miss the big wrecks and overall come home with our second win of the season and seventh overall with Joe Nacinelli Racing since I've been there.
Yeah, you know, actually, you know what? You and Michael really put on a good show. Like you said, there was a lot of aggressive racing going on out there. The one incident that I could not believe how you guys made it through was the wreck in 3 and 4, and the whole turn was full of smoke. And I'm looking, and I'm standing in 4, and there's no yellow light, there's no flag. And I don't know how you and Michael both made it through, but when you guys made it through, you ended up at the line first. You know, so, you know, on the Sui restart, you know, you had the advantage over him.
Yeah, it was crazy. I tell you what, I've never seen anything like that. I mean, you know, hats off to Michael for not getting out of the throttle when it was wrecking and there wasn't a yellow. But like you mentioned, I mean, the whole racing group, I mean, was almost 100% blocked, nowhere to go. So I'm not sure. Maybe the flagman or the scoring officials or the tower, maybe they have their eyes on something else. I'm not sure. But that, like you mentioned, there's a lot of smoke, and it was one of those days of thunder moves, you know, just stick her up to the top, put your foot in it, and hopefully you make it through. And thankfully we did, and everything worked out to our favor, I guess.
You know, and all in all, it was a really good run. You know, you got to take your hats off to all the drivers who put up with, you know, with the heat, the bumping and the banging. And of course, you know, by the end of the race, you know, Chris Eggleston comes out ahead again. What was it like going through the checker flag and knowing that, you know, that you were the, basically, like Sharon said, the dominator of Orange Show?
It was really cool. I mean, going into Orange Show Speedway, I thought we'd have a good shot of running up front all day long, but I never really thought that we'd be as dominant as we were as far as being so well off in practice, not only on our short run speed, but our long run speed was just really good. And then to have the long run speed that we had and qualify on the pole, it was really exciting and a testimony to all the guys at BMR. Just really happy to be a part of that program and the 99 crew. So to go back-to-back at Orange Show Speedway, which I know we haven't raced there in a long time, before last year, and go back-to-back wins there, that's pretty cool. That place will stay near and dear to my heart for a while. And like I said, hopefully we can go to Colorado here in a couple weeks and do the exact same thing, go back-to-back as well.
Well, with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon. I don't know.
Okay. Again, I want to add my congratulations to you, Chris. I was happy to see you do so well at Orange Show Speedway this weekend. Talk a little bit about your team. I know we talk a lot about Bill Nacinelli Racing. They have great people there. And, you know, talk about who your crew chief was, your spotter, you know, the people behind the scenes that don't normally get the acknowledgement.
Yeah, so, like, first and foremost, Brian Tesnacity, he's been with me since I've been with Bill McAnally. He's the car chief, and he's kind of the heart and soul of that team. Puts in all the hard work week in and week out, getting that thing prepared and ready to go. And just can't say thank you enough to Brian and all the work he does. Obviously, Ty Joyner splitting the roles of crew chief between me and Derek this year, doing a phenomenal job bouncing back and forth between both drivers. I don't know if that's ever been done to have a K&N team or drivers, you know, a couple drivers split a crew chief the way we've done it this year, but nevertheless, we've made it work and been, I feel like, very successful in doing so. So hats off to Ty Joyner for preparing and building fast race cars. Brandon at the Fab Shop, he works a lot in the Fab Shop, but also has his hand in the 99 crew as well, full-time track support on Saturdays. Michael Mulder, West Coast legend, been doing tires a long time for a lot of different teams. Couldn't be more proud to have him on our 99 team for all the years that we've been with BMR. And it was pretty cool to have a new spotter this weekend, Lauren Hill, which is from the Orange Show area in San Bernardino. Bill and I were looking for a spotter for this race and brought Lauren on board. I've known Lauren for a long time. And just he did a phenomenal job, kind of like as Sal and I were discussing. You know, there's a lot of wrecks and had to be on our toes. And Lauren did just a really great job keeping me out of trouble, letting me know where everyone was behind us, and just did a great job. It's pretty cool for him to get his first K&N win as a spotter at his home track in front of his friends and family and stuff like that. So kind of a humbling experience to be a part of that and bringing him into victory lane and with all those photos and the such. So, man, that team is like family to me. I couldn't have done it without them, and appreciate each and every one of them, that's for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely, Chris. And you could pretty much call Bill McAnally Racing the dominator of the K&N West right now. They've just had such tremendous success. And last week when we had Todd on the show, we asked him who his biggest competition this weekend was going to be, and he said it was you because you have so much experience there. Talk about your experience at Orange Show Speedway.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have any more experience than Todd. I mean, him and I both saw it for the first time last year when we both went there. So I wouldn't say I have any more experience at Orange Show Speedway than he does, but maybe racetracks that are similar to it possibly. I'm not sure too much what he was referring to. But other than that, I mean, we obviously had a lot of success there last year. And going into it this weekend, we just kind of wanted to build off of that. We had a solid foundation as far as the setup goes, and we knew what we were looking for out of the race car. And we're just able to take to all of that and adapt to what we needed. And working with Ty Joyner and all the BMR guys, we were able to dial it in, make some minor changes and the such, and come out with a really fast race car for 150 laps that put us in victory lane.
Absolutely. And I'm going to pass it back to Sal, and then I have another quick question that I want to ask before we let you go. Sal, any final comments?
Yeah, you know what, Chris, once again, you know, congratulations on the win, you know, and I really got to say, you know what, the camaraderie between the team, you know, even Derek Cross, I mean, that guy was just, I mean, he was really impressive, you know, up until, you know, that was the last caution of the night. But you know what, just the way the Bill McAnally team gels this year, it seems like there's a whole different kind of a, I don't know if you'd say a spark or aura about the team, but it's really awesome, you know, to be part of that team and to see, how well, you know, all three of you are doing.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, obviously when Bill goes and looks for drivers to, you know, represent not only his organization, but NAPA in general, he's obviously looking for the best of the best, and having Todd and Derek on that team, I tell you what, it's a true testimony to not only their talent, but how they handle themselves not only on and off the racetrack. You know, Derek being as young as he is, he's picking up on these heavy K&N cars really quick and fast, doing a phenomenal job, consistently posting great finishes. And I tell you what, make sure you look for a win out of that young kid before the season's over. He's definitely knocking on the door of his first win, there's no doubt. So really proud and happy to have both of those guys as a teammate. Not only that, just being a part of their team as well, you know, just obviously Todd has got a tremendous amount of talent. Everything that David Gilliland and Chris Lawson brings over to the 16 camp, you know, everybody's kind of shooting to beat them week in and week out. They've set the bar really high. And then so therefore us on the 99 team, you know, we're just, it just makes us that much better. And so, really happy to be part of that and chasing Todd for a championship this year. We're going to need a little luck and a few more wins this season to compete with him, but we definitely got our heads down week in and week out putting in the work, and hopefully with a little bit of luck, we can win some more races this year and be right there at the end of the season competing with them.
Well, once again, congratulations, Chris, and with that, I'm going to turn it over to Sharon.
I appreciate it, Sal. And Sal, again,
aww,
thanks for all the photos you shoot, man. You're my hero.
You're my hero.
Okay. Well, Chris, I know we talked about it a little bit earlier. You're going to your home track next on June 10th. Talk about the differences between Orange Show Speedway and Colorado National and why those two tracks seem to suit your driving style.
Yeah, I would say the biggest similarity is they both, they don't have a lot of banking. Colorado's obviously quite a bit bigger than Orange Show, but it's extremely rough and bumpy. So Colorado, like Orange Show, because Orange Show's so small and Colorado's so rough and bumpy, you really got to finesse the throttle. It's all about throttle input there, how you get on the brakes, how you enter the corner, and continue to carry rolling speed through the center, but yet get off the corner with good drive stability without abusing the rear tires. So I would say a combination of all that, just good throttle control and throttle ability makes you successful at a couple of those places. And like I said, those places I seem to do well at just kind of fits my driving style. And hopefully that all plays out on June 10th and we can go out there and be really competitive and pick up our third win, hopefully.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Todd. Who's your biggest competition going into Colorado?
I mean, it'd be silly not to say Todd. I mean, what that team and that camp has done all season long, not only last year, they're on fire right now. You know, they went 5 poles in a row, 4 wins in a row. I mean, it's unheard of in the NASCAR K&N series, and it's a testimony to all the hard work those guys have put in and the talent that Todd's got. So going into that weekend, I know Todd's going to be tough to beat. You can't count out the Brumcotti cars. They've always ran well there. Whether it was Ryan Partridge, who used to run over there, he's won over there a couple years ago. Derek Thorne's won a bunch of races over there. Michael Self is a great driver. He's going to be really hard to beat. Obviously, our ex-teammate, Julia Landauer, who used to be with BMR, has had speed week in and week out, just a lot of bad luck. And then, obviously, the JPR cars, I mean, they've had speed everywhere they went. And so it's going to be fun to compete with all those guys and see what we can do.
Okay, Chris. Again, congratulations to you. I know most people can find you at Chris Eggleston on most social media outlets. Are there any differences there that we need to point out?
Yeah, I mean, just social media in general. The biggest way to follow our racing outlook is just on Facebook at Chris Eggleston. We've got an Instagram and Twitter account at Chris Eggleston _. And encourage all the fans to follow along, and if they don't, they can always follow along with BMR. They have a great social media outlet and always posting great updates.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know Napa Racing does a lot to support you as well. So, you know, even at Napa Racing, post a lot about Bill McAnally Racing. So with that, we're going to go ahead and let you go. We wish you the best out there at Colorado National on June 10th. And, again, congratulations on winning at Orange Show Speedway this past weekend.
Thanks again, guys, and I appreciate it. And thanks for having me on your program. Hopefully talk to you guys soon.
Okay. We're looking forward to it, Chris, as always. Take care now. All right, that was Chris Eggleston with Bill McAnally Racing, and he did a great job this weekend at Orange Show Speedway as the dominator of that track, and I think he's going to be the dominator at Colorado National as well, Sal.
Yeah, you know, Sharon, it's you know, last year's team, you know what, they did have a good camaraderie, you know, with Todd. You know, of course, they had Todd, Riley, Julia, and Chris. But this year, you know, they're only running, you know, the three teams, and they're just a different. That's why
mm-hmm.
I said to Chris, you know, there's like a different aura down there. You know, them, you know, what was down there last year. Riley added a lot of spice, a lot of humor. Riley Herbst was a really funny guy to be around, you know, but I mean, you know, Derek is, he's young and he's really serious. I mean, you would walk up to Derek and he's got that, always has a serious look on his face. But I mean, the kid can drive, you know. Then of course,
focus.
Chris, you know, I get along real good with Chris, you know, with Chris and Katie, you know, and his mom and dad, you know, and then, you know, then you got Todd, who's David hasn't focused, you know, on the whole day. But, then
yeah.
You got Bill, the owner, you know, who's keeping them all, you know. But I'll tell you, they're going to be tough to beat. But like you said, don't get out that Bob Rucati team, because Michael Self is a really good driver, and I'm already picking Michael to win Sonoma. And I even told him Saturday, he goes, "Man, Sal, you're going to jinx me." I go, "Man, Michael," I says, "there is probably no better road course racer in that series than Michael Self." And I think it's going to show in Sonoma. And I'm sure we'll end up getting Michael on the show, you know, again, you know, before the end of the season. But
I'd love to do that. Another track I'm expecting Michael Self to win at is Iowa Speedway when they go out there. I know he's won there before, and he's familiar with that track. I think Michael, we're going to see a win from Michael without a doubt.
Oh, yeah, and you're going to see a heck of a race when you see this replay. You're going to see one heck of a race. After it's over, you're going to say, "Wow, man, Sal and Chris were not lying about what this race was all about." You're going to see one heck of a – it was pretty interesting. Oh, yeah, it was pretty interesting. Like even Chris mentioned, you know, there were some tight – when they came around down the stretch and there was two cars in the corner and no yellow flag and it's a small track. I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And then they threw the yellow, you know, like Chris said, he was already, you know, starting to, you know, to wave, you know, that he was slowing down because everybody expected the yellow, and it came out pretty late, but you know what? They survived. He survived. He won the race. I really loved his shout outs. You know what? He shout out to everybody, you know, to the tire, Michael Mulder.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, me, Michael, and Lauren, the spotter, we're really good friends. I mean, we go to races together. So, you know, it was neat to see Lauren, you know, get on the, you know, on the box, you know, and call the race for him. You know what? And you know, there's just a lot of good moments.
I believe we've had Michael on the show, if I remember correctly. But I just want to remind everybody, Friday, May 26th, set your TVRs for this race. If you can't watch it at 8 p.m. Eastern time, because as Sal said, this is going to be a really great race to watch with a lot of action on the track. And it's a do not miss it race with Chris Eggleston and his toughest competition, I guess, Michael Self and Todd Gilliland at that track. Definitely. Check that out this Friday. And Sal, I know you have to leave us, but you're coming back for the 9:30 segment, right?
Yes, actually, my contractors just drove up now. They're kind of looking at me like, why is the inspector the big boss in the car and we're all out here burning up in the heat? But, hey, that's how I roll.
Okay, well, you take care of business, Sal. And we'll talk to you at 9:30.
Okay.
Okay, take care. All right, Sal's kind of taking care of business here. We appreciate everything he does between a lot of work that he does. But I do have some post-race audio that I want to play during this 9 o'clock segment. We had both the Camping World Truck Series as well as the Monster Energy Open and All-Star Race at Charlotte Motor Speedway this weekend. Kyle Busch pretty much swept the weekend by winning both the Camping World Truck Series and the All-Star Race. So I want to go ahead and start with a few of his comments from the Camping World Truck Series after he won that race. We'll talk a couple minutes here afterwards, but let's go ahead and start that now.
Race winner of the North Carolina Education Lottery 200, driver of the number 51 Cessna Toyota, Kyle Busch. This is Kyle's second victory this season, in his 7th victory and 10th top 10 finish in 11 races here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Kyle, just talk a little bit about your night. You made some aggressive moves that were fun to watch from our seat, but tell us what it looked like from yours.
Yeah, it was certainly interesting from my seat and from my vantage point as well, but we had a really fast Cessna Tundra tonight. Bono and the guys did a great job, and really appreciate everybody at KBM being a cohesive unit, working together and building speed at the racetrack together. You know, Rowdy Manufacturing chassis are pretty awesome, and they continue to improve each and every week. And the guys at the body shop are really helping us out and building some good speed. So all in all, just tonight, the whole package kind of brought together there. The second stage of the race was quite interesting, quite unique. We kind of fell back a little bit there with the pit cycle that happened, ending that stage. And then on the restart, it didn't quite go our way either, being in the wrong lane, and kind of got boxed to the back a little bit, but fought our way back towards the front, and then just in time for that segment to end, we shot through the middle of those guys. They were kind of battling really hard side by side and kind of dragging each other down, gave me a big run down the front stretch, and then made the top side work through 1 and 2, got a good run off of 2, and I thought the middle was going to close up, and I was going to have to push the 21 and have to battle it out with the 21, but Crafton left me a lane through the middle and just enough to squeak through there, so I kind of blew by both of them, which was pretty awesome for me.
All right, and we've also been joined by our race-winning crew chief, Kevin Bono Mannion. And, Kevin, tell us a little bit about what that victory looked like from your vantage point.
In front of the home crowd with a lot of guys from, and girls from the shop here is really special. Always kind of a win at your home track, your given home track. So it seemed rather easy in the first segment. And like Kyle said, the second segment, it got challenging being stuck on the bottom, and but Kyle did a good job in the high line, and then the Red Sea parted there, and he went between them two trucks and with just a couple to go. So that kind of set us up for the last segment, and you know, with the laps winding down, we were keeping track of the green flag laps, and a caution came out just a little bit too late to take tires. With a little bit of cushion behind us for the guys that did pit, there was no chance to get back to the front.
All right, we'll go ahead and take questions for Kyle or Kevin, if you have one, please.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and end it there. Having heard from both Kyle Busch and his crew chief, Kevin Bono Mannion, that was a really amazing race. Just to kind of go over the top 10 drivers from Friday night's North Carolina Education Lottery 200. Parker Kligerman finished 10th with Noah Gregson in 9th. Ben Rhodes, who came very close to winning last week at Kansas, came in 8th. Grant Infinger, 7th. Matt Crafton, 6th. Getting into the top 5 now, we have Timothy Peters in 5th. Ryan Truex, 4th. Christopher Bell finished 3rd. Johnny Sauter in the 2nd position, and then, of course, Kyle Busch. And Kyle did a great job of kind of describing not just the final laps of the race, but his thoughts in the first 2 stages of that race as well. And really some great racing in that Camping World Truck Series event on Friday night. Now, just to do a wrap-up here, Chase Briscoe right now is leading. He's taken over the lead for the Sunoco Rookie of the Year standings. A lot of you remember we talked a lot with Chase Briscoe last year. He was the ARCA Racing Series champion last season with Cunningham Motorsports, and he's now taken over that lead, but it is by just 3 points over Kaz Grala, who won the season opening race at Daytona International Speedway. And right behind him is Grant Infinger. Now, let me tell you just how tight this is. Chase Briscoe is at 58 points, Kaz Grala at 55, and Grant Infinger at 52 points. And it's just 1 point behind Grant Infinger is Noah Gregson with 51 points. Now, that's what I say, four drivers all competing for the Sunoco Rookie of the Year title, and there's just 7 points from first to fourth. So I don't think this is the last time we're going to see a different leader in those point standings. And I thought that was important to point out tonight because Casgrella has been leading those points. And it's a very, very tight points battle in the Camping World Truck Series. So definitely keep your eye on that moving forward over who our Rookie of the Year might end up being now that they're getting into the heat of the Camping World Truck Series season. Now, with that, I do want to also play some post-race audio from Kyle Busch, Adam Stevens, and Joe Gibbs. It starts out with Adam Stevens, his crew chief, talking. Kyle Busch comes in a little bit later, along with Joe Gibbs. And they're going to give their post-race comments here after winning the All-Star race. This is the first time that Kyle Busch won an All-Star race. So he was pretty pumped up about that. And I think you'll hear that as you listen to these post-race comments. Let's go ahead and move forward with that.
Into our post-race media availability for the Monster Energy All-Star Race, we've now been joined by our race-winning crew chief of the number 18, which is Adam Stevens. And Adam, we'll go ahead and just start with you a little bit on just the strategy of the night. I know tonight was a big win. Kyle's never won here at Charlotte in a Monster Energy race. So I know that he showed a lot of excitement at the end of the race, but just tell us a little bit of what that vantage point was like from your seat tonight.
Yeah, you know, the big unknown coming into this deal was the option set of tires and how that was going to affect the race. And obviously, most of us put them on in practice to get a read on the speed difference. And for some teams, it was bigger, and some teams, it was smaller. And it just didn't seem to be as big with our car and our setup as it was with other teams. And that was with the track temperatures up. And as it cooled off tonight, it seemed like that discrepancy was a little bit less. So it was really a game to see who was going to put them on and if it was going to improve their position and who was going to save them and restart behind the other guys for the shootout at the end.
All right. Well, go ahead and take questions for Adam. If you have one, please raise your hand and state your name and affiliation. All right. Any questions for Adam? Okay, we'll start with Bob.
Are you surprised, Bob Popper, ESPN, are you surprised at all that this race, that there was so much talk about tires, really pretty much came down to pit stops?
Am I surprised? A little bit. You know, like I mentioned, there was a fair amount of speed difference, lap time difference, in between the sets in practice. But everybody's cars weren't dialed in yet, and the track temps was way up. So as it cooled off, it seemed like the discrepancy just got smaller and smaller, and the groove didn't open up very much. You know, guys that tried to move up to the middle or the top, there just wasn't the grip up there that there was on the bottom. So you really couldn't race 2-3 wide as much as maybe you can after, you know, halfway on a long race here. So it comes down to track position at that point, and you had to have good pit stops to get out front.
All right. Additional questions for Adam? Okay. We'll start with Joe in the back.
Joe Menzer, FoxSports.com. Adam, as good as Kyle is, why do you think it took so long for him to win in a cup car here at Charlotte?
I have no earthly idea. This place is tough. This place changes probably more with track temperature than about any place we go. And it doesn't necessarily reward driving hard. Maybe it does certain times of the day or certain laps on your tires or certain aero packages that we bring here. Or certain tire combinations, and sometimes it doesn't. So you really have to move around, and you really have to change the way that you drive the car. Kyle's gotten better and better at that through the years, obviously, and now I would say he's probably one of the best. But you have to catch the setup up to that, too. And I think years past, at least him and I, we just haven't had the setup, a winning setup here. We've been fast on occasion, but to put that together for a whole race is tough. You know, another wrench in the works, too, is we generally practice in the heat of the day and don't always race in those conditions. So I think it's just a matter of time of him figuring it out, and no different than Kansas and some of these other places he's struggled at in the past. But wouldn't say here's been a struggle, but it's just been hard to finish it off. And hopefully this is a little bit of momentum, a little bit of wind in our sails, and something we can build on for next week.
All right. Additional questions for Adam? All right, we'll go to Jenna.
Adam, what do you think that Kyle saw on that restart? What made him kind of go low like that, and what did you think of it?
Well, I haven't seen a replay from his vantage point, but obviously the two was on old tires, and he knew he wasn't going to have the momentum down into one that the rest of us on tires were going to have. I don't know if he spun him a little. It looked like he got rolling okay, but to keep up with the rest of us, he was going to have to drive it in pretty deep. So I was pretty surprised that Kyle was able to find a car width underneath him as soon as he did, without going too much in the grass. I think he hung a tire over there, but he didn't have to drive through it. But I wasn't seeing that one coming. I wouldn't take anybody else but Kyle Busch on a restart if I had my choice.
All right. Jerry, go ahead.
Jerry Jordan, kicktires.net and PRN. With the option tire tonight, if NASCAR and Goodyear decide to do something similar to this in the future, how much of a in points races, how much of a strategy issue, how much trouble would you have as a crew chief trying to make those calls? What would you have to do to use a tire like this in the race?
Well, it's just all about experience and practicing on it and seeing what the grip difference is, and assessing how many lanes there are on the racetrack and can you pass people, and how important track position is. It's all the steps we went through this week, but like I said, we practiced in the day and raced at night, and it seemed like it that discrepancy closed up a little bit. So I don't know if they will do that on points races. It's certainly possible, I guess.
All right. We've now been joined by our race winner, driver of the number 18 M&M's Carmel Toyota, Kyle Busch, and the race-winning owner, team owner, Joe Gibbs. And Coach Gibbs, we'll start with you. It's always nice to win a race, but I know it's especially nice to win a race when they're giving away $1 million. So talk about taking home that big win tonight for your team.
Well, we've had such a tough time this year. And I told everybody I forgot where Winner's Circle was here. It's been so long since we won a race. Now, it's a huge deal. I would say on this race, this has probably been the hardest race that we've run in 25 years. We've won twice. That's it. And this couldn't come at a better time for us. As we all know, we've got off to a slow start. Huge deal for all of us. Everybody that works back at the shop, JD, the front office, everybody over there, then everybody working on the cars, our engineering group, everybody. It's a total victory for us. We had a meeting last week, and we talked about, you know, all of us sticking together, how hard to work and go after it, and appreciate Kyle and Adam and our pit crew, everybody tonight. Really did a great job. It's hard to win this race. We're a good example of how hard it is.
And Kyle, we talked last night before you left here about how much it would win for you to finally be able to win a race here at Charlotte in the Monster Energy Series. You did take home the All-Star win tonight. So just talk about a little bit about those final 10 laps and just what it means to come home the race winner.
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot. You know, first of all, to finally win at Charlotte for one, and then to win the All-Star race. It's an exciting race, and this race was kind of born off of exciting events that were in the race and bold moves and things like that, and we did one of those tonight to win the race. And so, you know, thirdly, taking home $1 million, that's not such a bad payday. So I know Joe gets to keep most of it. So, you know, that's always good for the owner. But more importantly, just to get the team into victory lane here finally. And my guys have been with me for a long, long time, and I'm sure they feel the same goose egg that I do. And it's extra special to finally get rid of that. But, man, just a good night for us overall. We were second and second again, third, something like that, third, I think. And then the third segment kind of got crazy for us. We kind of got shifted out of line a little bit and lost our momentum a little bit with some of those slower guys in front of us. So we lost some spots in that segment, but you know, still had a third average, and we were able to come down pit road. My guys gave me a great pit stop that got us out where we needed to be in prime position, I guess. I thought Jimmy was actually in prime position, but we got a really good restart there and made a bold move on Brad. I knew to just tuck out as soon as I could if I got that run on him, and I did. And he left me just enough room there before the second kink in order to get my car through there. And once I heard clear in turn one, I was looking in my mirror to make sure the 48 didn't have a run on the top side. And and to get up in front of him and to just kind of set sail from there. So we didn't quite have the fastest car on a short run, but I felt like our long run speed was just as good as most. So, you know, that certainly helped us when the race kind of got to its closing laps there, when we were able to just kind of inch away.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take questions for Kyle, Adam, or Coach Gibbs. We're going to start with Jenna, and then I'll take everyone else as I get you.
Kyle, you've mentioned, I think, twice that you thought that was a bold move. I asked Adam about that restart. What, from your vantage point, what did you see, and how low did you know that you could get away with going?
I just basically, you know, concentrated on getting a good launch for myself. I wasn't really worried about how well of a launch Brad was going to get, but he surprised me, actually. He got a better launch than I expected him to. But once we got to start-finish, I started kind of closing the gap on him and knew I needed to cut out as soon as I could and make a move. And Brad had one of two options, either block me low and leave me the middle, or block the middle and leave me the low side. And so I had just enough room there on the bottom that I got through there. And you're always susceptible to getting close to the grass or running in the grass when a guy in front of you wants to block a little bit. But once I got alongside, he was smart enough to know soon enough that I was there and gave me that room. So, you know, it was pretty cool once I got that opportunity to get there. I knew it was going to be now or never, and take advantage of the opportunity when it presented itself. I think my move here a few years ago was probably a little bit more crazy when I was restarted fourth and got through the middle of the front row, and I don't remember what happened after that. I probably wrecked, but that's most times what I do in this race. But, you know, I think I went between Jeff Gordon and somebody else, and it was kind of a three-wide thing, and I thought that was exciting, but it wasn't a winning move, so tonight's kind of was. I could have just sat there in line. I could have pushed Brad, and I could have faded in the corner and watch the outside lane go by. So, you know, you kind of got to do what you got to do. Maybe it's not one of the top five moments, but, you know, top 10 maybe, 15 probably.
All right, Bob, go ahead.
Bob Pocker, ESPN. Kyle Larson looked so dominant for the first 40 laps, but he was also on the pole and got good restarts. Did you feel like, hey, if I get out front, I'm going to be just as dominant?
No, I didn't feel that way. Like I said, you know, I didn't feel like our car was quite as strong as we needed it to be on the short run. So Larson was really fast on the short run. He could really buzz out there for about 8 or 10 laps, and then it sort of stayed the same gap from there, I felt like anyway. Maybe he still was a little faster. But, you know, the way I kind of saw it there in stage three when we were on the soft compounds is everybody was kind of coming back to us. Even though we were on the softer ones and they were supposed to fade, I felt like our car stayed longer, and we had a better long run car. Those guys were kind of coming back to me just a little bit. It's just so tough here at Charlotte. You know, the groove is right around the bottom of the racetrack. There really isn't a middle, unfortunately, and I'm not sure why. The track is there's room there for a middle and a top, but it just doesn't work. There's just not enough speed to prevail in some of those different grooves in order to make any time.
All right, we're gonna go Mike and then Monty. Mike, go ahead.
Mike Hembree, USA Today. Kyle, you mentioned a now or never move. Did you feel like if you did not make the pass then that you wouldn't have another really good shot the rest of the way?
Oh, yeah, for sure. No question. It just seemed like that was kind of the theme of the night, that once a guy kind of got out front, that was it, you know. So it's frustrating and it's unfortunate. Come here, buddy. That we didn't see a whole lot of passes for the lead in green flag conditions, but, you know, that's some of Charlotte and that's some of what we got.
Hi, you
want to
talk?
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and end it there before we run out of time here. Kyle Busch certainly gave some great feedback there, as well as his crew chief, and you could tell Joe Gibbs was pretty happy with the results as well. Now, just to go over the top 10 here, well, before I do that, I want to just mention that the drivers that kind of advanced from the open included Kellett Boyer, Ryan Blaney. All of a sudden, I'm brain dead on who the third person was. It's going to come to me here in just a minute. But Chase Elliott, I know, won the fan vote and was able to advance. Daniel Suarez was the other driver that advanced. They all won the stage, the three stages of the Monster Energy Open that preceded the All-Star race on Saturday night, so they were all able to advance to the All-Star race. What's kind of cool about that is that of the 10 drivers that were competing at the end in that 10-lap shootout included Kurt Busch, Kevin Harvick, Jamie McMurray, Chase Elliott, who advanced with the fan vote, was part of that top 10. Joey Logano, Keselowski, and Hamlin were all competing in that top 10. So the way it ended up, Denny Hamlin 10th, Brad Keselowski 9th, Joey Logano 8th, Chase Elliott was 7th, Kevin Harvick was 6th. The top 5 include Jamie McMurray in 5th, Kurt Busch, Jimmy Johnson, Kyle Larson, and Kyle Busch, who was the race winner. A lot of talk about this All-Star race. What kind of changes do we need to make it a little bit more exciting? A lot of debating going on about that right now. But I'm sure NASCAR is going to put their focus on that for next year and throw out some ideas, and I'm sure we'll see something new next year. One thing's for sure, NASCAR is going to try to make it all the time. Their effort is to try to make it more exciting for the fans. In theory, I think they did a lot of things to try to do that with the softer tire compound. My understanding is there just wasn't enough variance between the harder tire and the softer tire. They need a bigger range there to make it work for them. We'll see if they come back with that next season for the All-Star race. But NASCAR will try to make it more exciting for us as fans. In theory, I think they came up with some good ideas this year. It just didn't. The problem was the passing, as Kyle Busch mentioned, that made it a little more, did not allow it to play out like we had kind of hoped it would play out. I want to get into the ARCA Racing Series race that took place on Sunday. I did get a chance to watch that. Dalton Sargeant did a great job. A lot of drivers really contended at the front, including Christian Eckes from Venturini Motorsports. Chad Finley, I think if he had a couple more laps, Sal and I talked about it a little bit earlier, I think he would have been contending for that win. But Harrison Burton was really impressive. He had a kind of a his car stalled on the first pit stop, and he was back in the back racing his way to the front, which he did with 8 laps to go. He took the lead in that race, and it was impressive watching him race his way through that field and choosing his moments to make his move. He did a really fantastic job, I thought. And as much as Dalton Sargeant dominated, and a lot of times we feel like the guy who dominated the race should be the one that wins it, he just ran out of steam at the end of that race. And Harrison Burton was able to take over that lead and end up with the race win. So a lot of great things there. Harrison Burton is currently leading the series point standings in the K&N East. Another tight points battle there. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with their next race that will be taking place on June 3rd when they go back to the track. So Sal has just returned. Sal, I believe your guest is here if you want to go ahead and do the introductions.
All right. Can you hear me, Cher?
I can hear
you,
Sal.
Okay. No, I just need to make sure because I get another headset. All right. Our next guest is Rob Proctor from Hot Rod Productions. He's a track promoter over at Morris Show Speedway over here in San Bernardino, California, which just hosted the Orange Show 150 this past weekend, NASCAR Can-Am West race. And along with that, Rod has his weekly series that he does out here, late models slash super late models, different classes he runs out here, and actually does a very good job with that. And with that, we want to welcome Rod to the show. Welcome to the show, Rod.
Thank you very much, Sal. Thank you for having us.
You know, Rod, this not only this past weekend, but when you look at the racing at Orange Show Speedway, the racing is good every single week in and out. You know, there's always action. There's always, there's something for any kind of a motorsports fan to see. But let's talk a little bit about the NASCAR Can-Am West Series coming back to Orange Show for a second year in a row.
It's pretty exciting to have them because, like I told them on Saturday, they're like nothing bigger can come there as far as NASCAR's concerned, except for the Can-Am West race. And, boy, did they put on a really good show this weekend.
You know, and actually, you know, for these shows, you know, we've talked to, you know, other track promoters and, you know, and there's – when you talk about the Can-Am West Series, there's always a lot of preparation that goes into, you know, not only – getting the track, you know, ready, you know, for the drivers, you know, but also, you know, promoting, you know, the event, you know, and getting it out there, you know, not only to the general public, but of course, you know, to race fans themselves.
Yeah, track prep is key for them, especially this year. And we did a lot of track prep this year for them. We learned from what we needed to do last year. And you've seen that they were at one point in one of your pictures that you took, there was three wide at one point. Getting it ready as far as advertising and everything, yes. It's a month and a half long that me and the staff and a lot of volunteers do to promote that race just for them because we know how big it is for our track to get the recognition to have them there, and the fans love them. So, like I said, it's a lot, and the staff is really great and all the volunteers really great to make that happen.
You know, like you said, you know, the racing was good. You know, I did post that 1-3 wide because, you know, it's not very often that you can see cars go 3 wide at Orange Show and make it out at the other end, you know, without, you know, something happening. But of course, you know, behind that, you know, all the 3 wide racing is all the prep, you know, from the team at Orange Show, you know, to get this, you know, to get everything ready, you know, for when NASCAR does come in, you know, all the way from, you know, having, you know, getting the space for the haulers, you know, all the way to, you know, to making sure, you know, that NASCAR is comfortable when they come this way, you know, when they talk at the end of the season where we're going to go next year, you know, hopefully, you know, Orange Show is back in that mix again.
Yeah, we do. We go out of our way for them, and we really do. And like I said, it's an honor to have that class there. And without the help from our sponsor, Sunrise Ford and Pinnacle Peak Steakhouse and LKQ Pick Your Part, we couldn't do it, plain and simple. And like I said, it is a lot. I just actually had to go buy a new pair of shoes because I think I wore mine out over Saturday.
And with that, we're going to turn it over to Sharon to the show host.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Rod. Rod, this is Sharon. Yeah, this is Sharon, Rod. Thanks for coming on the show tonight. It's good to have you here. I know it's an effort because you had a really big weekend this weekend at Orange Show Speedway. What was the highlight for you this weekend?
The whole weekend. The NASCAR, our regular groups, you know, the open late models. That was the highlight of the weekend. Like I said, it was one of our biggest weekends. And we have a lot more racing to go through this year, and this one's out in the books now, and Chris had won, and like I said, he did a back-to-back wins at the racetrack and with multiple leaders and everything. It was just a really good, exciting night of racing.
Yeah, we had Chris on earlier, and just listening to him and Sal talk, I could tell this is definitely one that fans will want to watch when it airs on NBCSN. You mentioned you've got a whole lot more going on this season. Give us a rundown of some of the things that fans have to look forward to at Orange Show.
Well, our regular racing is always good. Every Saturday night, it's always good and heavy. But we also have the 1-800 Lone Mart Street Stock 200 that pays, you know, $2,000 to win, which is a lot of money for them. And then we are also having the open late models presented by LKQ, Pick Your Part. They will be out there running for 100 laps for $4,000 to win, with a bonus to Sean Woodside if he wins it back-to-back. So he has a chance to win it. And then we have the Lucas Oil Modifieds are coming back, and they'll be back in September to run with us, which is a big show, and we'll have our regulars there that night too. Then we have the Mini Stock 100, which is paying $2,000 to win this year as well. And along with the November race, the West Coast Outlaw Figure Eight Championships.
Okay, and figure eight, I still can't figure out how these guys do it, that figure eight racing. It seems so dangerous, and yet somehow they manage to do a great job of doing that racing on the track. And I know it's exciting for the fans to watch as well.
Oh, yeah, that figure eight, I actually hopped back in the car I haven't hopped in one since last November. Yeah, you don't make it, because I didn't make it through there the last November race. But we just raced, and it's just these guys are so talented in the figure eight race. It's guys from Indiana, Kentucky, they've been out, and they've been dominant. The guys from Washington have been very dominant when they come out. And it's just a battle for 300 laps for $10,000 to win.
Yeah, that is amazing. And I'm going to pass the mic back over to Sal. With that,
Rod. So with the weekend over, you know, and you know your team probably, I imagine they probably got together on Monday, you know, and looked over, you know, actually today maybe, or even Sunday, you know, kind of looked over, you know how the weekend went. What are some of the things that a track promoter and your team look at, you know, at the end of a race weekend?
Well, we go back and look at, you know, what happened, and you know, if they're, you know, drivers and them spinning out on the racetrack, or some rough driving, what we can tolerate, what we can't tolerate, the goods and bads of it all. There's always good and bads to everything, especially in racing. And we go back and through, and we're trying to make something that pleases everybody, you know, and it's pretty hard to do, but we're trying to find that happy medium right now for everybody, so we can all get on the same page and improve on our car counts, which we do have great car counts in all our divisions. We want to keep improving on it. You know, like we discussed the tire for this year, and we did go over transfer over to the American Racer 970, which is a lot more racier for everybody. And the racing has been incredible. And then just, you know, try to improve. That's all we want to do, is we want to improve on the races. Bring more cars, bring new faces to the track, because once they come in and race at Orange Show, there's a smile on their face, because they're actually their elbows up steering a car that they're, no matter if it's a 20-lap race or 100-lap race, they're always on the wheel at Orange Show.
Yes, they are, and I mean, and you know, with that being, you know, such a, you know, small little quarter-mile track, you know, lap cars are, you know, they're caught really quick. You know, the laps get, you know, the laps go by, you know, at a really fast pace. So of course, when that happens, you know, you have the inevitable, which is, you know, the wrecks and, you know, the tempers flying, especially being out in San Bernardino, it's as hot as it gets during the summer. You know, there's a lot of, not only action on the track, but there's a lot of action in the pits too.
Oh, yeah, tempers flare in the heat, I'll tell you that. I seen you one time, I think, walking through turns 3 and 4, and I think we both looked like we were about ready to pass out. But the temperatures are definitely hot, and it does bring out the tempers in the drivers all the time, and that's just something we try to control the tempers, but all the time we can't, and that's just racing. It's going to happen.
Yes, it is, And you know, and actually, you know what, kind of talking, you know, about Orange Show in itself, you know, Kenny Shepherd from Madera put up, you know, somebody had, you know, they're talking, you know, about, you know, Madera, you know, not being a NASCAR sanctioned track, which is the same thing as Orange Show. You guys aren't a NASCAR sanctioned track either. But then you look at Erndale, you look at Kern, and then, you know, you go as far, you know, as to Vegas, the Bull, you know, they're all NASCAR sanctioned tracks. How is it that you and Kenny, not being NASCAR sanctioned tracks, can pull in the car counts that you guys do, but yet the NASCAR sanctioned tracks they're fighting right now, you know, to get car count.
Well, I mean Kenny's a great guy. Kenny is really good. He's helped me from when I first started when I took over the place. He gave me a lot of pointers on a lot of stuff. And if I have a question, I know Kenny's there for me. I don't know. I mean, there's nothing against NASCAR. I'm sure nobody has anything against NASCAR, and I don't know about the other racetracks. I don't know if it's their rule packages or, you know, I don't know. I can't really answer that question. I run the modified myself on the touring. I went to Vegas last year, and all I can say is when I showed up in Vegas, they treated me really good, and I had a great time. So, and I'll be running Irwindale here pretty quick, and same with Kern. I can't answer that question. I don't know if it's the rules. I have no idea. I don't know.
You know, and actually that's kind of, you know, it's not really, you know, some, you know, that's debated, you know, or putting down, you know, what NASCAR does, you know, because NASCAR, you know, does put out a good program, you know, they do help the tracks that they do sanction. But it just seems like, you know, the tracks that aren't sanctioned by NASCAR, you know, that they end up doing, you know, really well, you know, if not, you know, a lot better. Because you look at Kenny, what Kenny puts together at Madera, what you're putting together here, and actually what's going on at Willow Springs, which, you know, you and Willow, you know, are working together, you know, on your scheduling, you know, to help each other out. And I think that's really awesome.
Yeah, scheduling's really tough. Especially when you have four racetracks within, you know, say let's say an hour and a half away from everybody, you know, and it's really tough. And I know Irwindale, they have a certain amount of nights so they can get those NASCAR points for regional points and all that. So they have to run, you know, and we're going to conflict no matter what. It's just what you prefer, I guess, is what track you want to race at. You know, I know we have Eshelman had came out this week, and she's been running Madera, and I know she's been to Vegas and a couple other places. Ryan Vargas has been out with us for the last couple of weeks, and he's been running Irwindale, Kern, you know, running those other tracks as well. So I don't know. I think it's just about what drivers prefer.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and with that, I'm gonna turn it back over to Sherry.
Okay, Rod. You know, one of the things I've always been impressed about what you do at Orange Show Speedway is it's all about the drivers and doing what you can to bring, to create an atmosphere that drivers want to be there. And I've got to think on the other side of that coin is the fans. Talk about some of the things that you do for the fans as well at Orange Show Speedway.
We do promotional stuff, you know, and stuff like that. We give free stuff away. We'll throw hats up in the grandstands. We'll give out free shirts. Like this weekend, we were giving out cane and sweatshirts to, if they had, you know, on our social media, we would give them free sweatshirts if they answered a question about a prior race, stuff like that. And just week in, week out, we just put on a pretty good, the drivers, not me, I can say the drivers do all that. They put on a good show for the fans every week. It don't matter if it's an 8-year-old in a bando or if it's a 12-year-old in a Pinto or a 14-year-old in a late model. They're always constantly putting on a show, and that's the best thing we can give those fans.
Absolutely. That'll keep them coming back every week for sure. If they're seeing a good show. And from what I understand, there's always some great racing there at Orange Show Speedway every week. And you mentioned you've got like a weekly group that comes out there and races every weekend. Talk a little bit about how that's put together and you know, what that means for that area as far as racing.
Well, the weekly group is, we just have our basic five divisions per night, and we just started a new class, open comp this year, which allows a lot of the outlaw figure eight guys to run the oval, and it adds something a little bit different to the racetrack. And we'll, you know, we trade off on their dates to do that, and So we just run the same five divisions every night, and they know they're going to race every week, and they know they're going to get paid every week. So that's pretty much about that question.
Okay. And they get a loyal following, I'm sure, as well, from the area there. I just want to remind fans, there was a great race that took place there this last weekend with that Can-Am Pro Series, and that race is going to be broadcast on NBCSN this Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. The television coverage that takes place with NBCSN out there with their cameras and all of that, I know it's something that you welcome because it's great exposure for Orange Show Speedway, but that's got to present a little bit of challenges for you guys as well.
Well, it gets challenging, but luckily they're professionals and they make us look good. It's what it is. They do bring out the craziness in some drivers, or should I say when TV's there, they all want to be famous. But yeah, the challenge is really they're really professional and they show up and they take care of us at the racetrack and our main sponsors and stuff. So it's not too bad. You know, there's really not a challenge there. It's just they make us look really good.
Well, I know out here in the East, and in fact, Chris mentioned this tonight. He said he's never been to Bowman Gray Stadium out here in the East. I'm not in the East, but out in the East. It's they call Orange Show Speedway the Bowman Gray of the East in the West. Have you been at Bowman Gray, and would you agree with that assessment?
I have heard everything there is about Bowman Gray, but no, I haven't been there. But now they're saying it's Bowman Gray on steroids.
That's cool. So it's a little bit more intense is what you're telling me.
Yes, it's a little bit wider, I gather, and it's about the same. You know, and that is a football field is what I learned from actually the NBC guy this weekend. It's a football field during the winter. And it's a racetrack during the summer for the most part. And he was just describing it to me on Saturday during one of our meetings. And he says, yeah, that's why they said this one's just like that, except for it's a Bowman Gray on steroids, and which is a good compliment for us, for sure. There's a lot of action, and it creates a lot of action on the track, especially with the full field. 21 cars from the K&N West Series showed up Saturday, and we're very excited about that, too.
Absolutely. And as we mentioned earlier, the television coverage that comes along with that promoting Orange Show Speedway. I'm going to go back to Sal for any final comments that he might have, and then we'll go ahead and close out your segment, okay?
Okay.
So how does a driver go from being a race car, a race car driver, and next, you're a track promoter, making it happen out there, what we've seen in the past, Orange Show has a long history, where it's done good, it's done bad, it's done good, it's done bad, and actually the last time that Dead Asphalt Racing out there, it really wasn't doing too well, and then they, went to dirt, and then it really wasn't doing well. And then take the dirt off, and you take over, and now all of a sudden, it's back to almost to the Orange Show, of the days of past.
Well, no, I did it only for the sole love of the racetrack and for the drivers to have a place to race. There's a lot of local guys. I grew up watching 90% of them, most of the guys, and I raced there since I was really young. And I only did it because nobody else would, and it was a big risk, and I knew that it had to be done. So I did it. I mean, we've been pretty lucky. This is our fourth season now. I've been just very, very lucky with the backing I get from the drivers. I mean, like, if I don't have drivers, I don't have a race. If I don't have drivers, I don't have fans. So I think about it that way, and I always try to think of them as far as me being a driver as well, what what can make things work and what can't make things work out there. And I'm not, I don't, you know, I just don't want to have that I'm a promoter, I'm better than you kind of attitude. I'm a race car driver that just happens to be promoting a racetrack right now. And with me promoting the racetrack, I still do get to race every once in a while. And also when I'm not racing, I get to go run the Lucas Oil Modified Series with three of my teammates. And it gets me out and it gets me to learn a lot more as far as what other racetracks are doing and what that series actually does for their drivers and stuff, which I can keep learning on. And like I said, the drivers are what makes it happen. And the staff I have, all I do is keep the doors open and try to hope my best. And every race is successful and every fan leaves with a smile on their face and every driver comes back the next race.
You know, and of course, you know, with any track, you know, you're always going to have the controversies, you know. I didn't like this call. I didn't like that call, you know what, or this call should have been made. That call shouldn't have been made, you know, and they walk around and they, you know, yeah, you know, I didn't like it. You know, you didn't like it. And then before you know, they're back again. So when stuff like that comes up, you know, how is a promoter do, you know, do you deal with, let's just say an irate driver?
Well, I take it all personally because I feel I'm really close. I try to be really close with everybody, and they know that I'm doing this to keep it open for them. You know, every week I'm there for them just to keep it going. I'm not making a ton of money. I'm not doing that. And when they come up and yell at me, you know, I don't yell back. At least I only have a couple times, but normally I don't. I just let them blow it off, and then I can talk to whoever made the bad call or whatever before and try to make it better, you know. And I'm sure, just like any other racetrack around, someone's making a bad call somewhere, whether it's on the track or something like that, you know. So I just deal with it, but a lot of it, I mean, I take it to heart, and I shouldn't, but sometimes people forget that I'm just one of them, and I'm a race car driver, you know, and you know, I'm easygoing enough to just let it go and try to improve on it, you know, and that's what we're doing this year is we're trying to improve. We got a new race control up there. He's learning, you know, so I deal with it and I leave it at that, you know, and try to improve.
You know, Ronan, with that, I'm going to pass over to Sharon, but I just want to say good luck, you know, the rest of the season and the seasons to come. And, you know, you're doing a great job out there, you know. I'm glad I could be, a small part of the track, you know. And like I said, you know, good luck in the upcoming, you know, for the rest of the season. And with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Sharon.
Rod, thank you so much for being here tonight. As I mentioned earlier, I know it had to be an effort on your part after such a big weekend. And we really appreciate you taking the time to be here. And I want to add my well wishes for the remainder of the season. And are there any shout outs that you want to make before we let you go here?
Yeah, I just want to give all my staff and drivers of the Orange Show Speedway and fans of the Orange Show Speedway, thank you very much for supporting me, supporting the track, the staff, and everything else. I had to give a big shout out to NASCAR, all the K&N and West drivers. They were incredibly great this weekend. Very polite. Everything went very well on their part. Just thank you, Sal, and thank you for having me on your show and giving us time to talk about Orange Show Speedway. And thank all our sponsors, Sunrise Ford, Pinnacle Peak Steakhouse, LKQ, everybody. Just thank you for keeping the track going and supporting me.
And thank you to Rod Proctor, because I know you're a big part of keeping that track going. I know Sal appreciates. I haven't been out there yet, but I know all of the people out there in the San Bernardino area really appreciate everything that you do at Orange Show Speedway. And we hope you have a great season and that you'll come back and visit with us again somewhere down the road here.
Yes, I definitely will.
Okay. Take care, Rod, and enjoy your upcoming weekend and the rest of the season.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
All right, Sal, that was Rod Proctor of Hot Rod Productions. He's the track promoter out there at Orange Show Speedway, and really gave us some great insight into what he deals with. And what's really cool about Rod Proctor is that he's a driver, just like all the other guys that are out there racing, and you can tell he has a passion for what he does.
Oh, yeah, sure, he does. He has a huge passion. I mean, you know what, and it's kind of neat because Rod doesn't go sit up in the press box, you know what, and just sit there, you know, watch the race, you know what, and, you know, like, you know, he's there in the pits walking around. He's on the track walking around. He's all over the place. He's where the in the stands with the fans. He's in the back, you know where they do concessions, and you'll always see him. He's constantly moving around, never still. He'll stop, talk with the drivers, and next you know he'll be on the other side of the track. He'll always be down there, you know, when the race ends, you know, to congratulate the winners. And he walks through the pits and thanks every driver, you know, for coming out, you know, supporting the track, you know, which is a big thing because you don't see that in a couple tracks out here, you know what? And it's one thing that I've always stressed, to the people that run the track, you know, help run the track, you know what? You need to get the promoters and the owners out there, to say hi to the drivers, you know, thanks for, you know, supporting the track. I said, it goes a long way with these drivers. They might be hardcore, you know, but I said, but they still have feelings.
Absolutely. That makes a huge difference when you've got a track promoter like that out there interacting with all sides of the business. Now, Sal, I'm going to kind of transition here because we received some rather sad news today, too, from the MotoGP with Nicky Hayden passing away after a horrible accident in Italy with him riding his bicycle. He was hit and sustained some severe injuries resulting in his death. That's going to be a huge loss in that division of racing.
Oh yeah, it is. You know what? It's really sad. You know, because like you said, you know, it's going to be felt, you know, throughout the whole racing community. You know, and you know, I mean, gosh, you know, thoughts and prayers out to the Hayden family. You know, having to deal with something like this. Not only that, but so far away. I mean, you know, he's on the other side of the world. You know, when the accident happened.
I know. Nicky Hayden was a champion in the motorcycle racing, and he's leaving a huge, huge hole in that sport. And I know he's going to be very much missed. And we give our thoughts and our prayers to his family and friends that are mourning his death as we speak. And I wanted to make sure we mentioned that here on Fan for Racing Radio tonight. And then with that, we're also reading horrible news out in Manchester, England, as well, with an explosion affecting some concert goers there as they're leaving. And all of our thoughts and prayers are there in Manchester, England, as well. So I hate to end the show on sad news, but I couldn't let the show end without giving our thoughts and prayers on both of those counts.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's sad, you know, but, you know, you kind of hate to say it, but, you know, life goes on, you know what, and, you know, you just got to count your blessings, you know, when you wake up in the morning, you know, that you're still breathing, you're still alive, and some of us are somewhat healthy, you know, and, you know, we're blessed to be able to do things that we get to do, you know, like the show, you know, on Monday night. So, you know, something, you know, we should never take for granted.
Absolutely. Take time to give a hug or a kiss to those people that you love, because you just never know what's going to happen. And And you're right, Sal. It's these kind of times when you understand just how important the blessings that you have in your life are. Again, our thoughts and prayers all around here from Fan for Racing Radio. Now, we will be back here next, this coming Thursday night. There's more racing to take care of at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and we will be here to preview on our NASCAR weekend preview show this Thursday night starting at 8:30 p.m. with myself and co-hosts MJ Huseman. So we hope everybody will tune in. We'll certainly keep everybody posted of that show coming up this Thursday, and that date is May the 18th. No, I had it right. May the 25th, that's coming up. We'll have racing at Charlotte Motor Speedway for both the Xfinity Series as well as the Coca-Cola 600 out there at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And it's a huge weekend of racing because we also have the Indianapolis 500 taking place this coming weekend as well. So it's a big weekend of racing up ahead. And then, of course, Sal and I will be here next Monday night. I think we'll be here next Monday night. Is that right, Sal?
You know what? I didn't even know it was Memorial Day weekend until I was talking to my contractor now because we had an argument on working. And I said, you know what? Don't argue with me. I said, you argue with my boss because my boss says we have Monday off. Yeah, he's telling me that I'm working.
Oh,
I said,
okay.
Dude, you're not my boss, number one. Yeah, so I knowing my fiance, she's making plans for next Monday, so I don't think I'm going to be able to make it next Monday.
Okay, would you be able to do it Tuesday, Sal?
I should. I don't think there'd be a problem with Tuesday, but I don't Monday it's gonna be out because I'm gonna be having,
okay,
having
let's,
some fun. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, just to let listeners know, we're gonna try to work this out for Tuesday. It's such a huge weekend of racing. I hate to miss the review on this weekend.
I agree.
So, you know, if we don't do it Monday, let's plan on Tuesday, and we'll keep you posted on that via social media. So, the at Fan for Racing site on Twitter, and then we are Fan for Racing blog and radio on Facebook. So, we'll certainly keep you posted on the exact day. We'll probably have the exact same time, 8:30 Eastern time, for our start time until 10 o'clock Eastern time. So, Sal, thank you so much for all that you do to support us here at Fan for Racing Radio. You're a huge part of our Monday night show and the success of that. And I can't let any Monday go by without thanking you for all that you do.
Oh, thank you, Sharon. And you also got to thank yourself for all the hard work, you know, that you put in. You know, getting everything ready, you know, and, you know, getting, you know, the, you know, getting the show together, you know, and, you know, for the guests you bring in and, you know, all the hard work you do behind the scenes with the writing and keeping the website going strong and all that.
Well, thank you, Sal. I appreciate that. And a big thank you to our listeners as well. We appreciate each and every one. And if you don't know this, our podcasts are always available the following day on iTunes as well as on all of the links that we put on out on social media as well. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Again, we appreciate each and every one of you. Enjoy your holiday weekend, and we'll see you on the other side this Thursday for the preview and next Monday for the review. So, Sal, take care and enjoy your holiday, okay?
All right, you too, and good night.
Good night, everybody.